I know.
I always have a hard time. Like, when do I pop in?
After France, back in France in the 60s. Okay. It was so funny. We were at my grandkids' birthday party, and there was this one little doll there, and she had a little dress on, but my little grandkid goes, oh, but look at she, it's not wearing any, you know what? And so I said, I see London, I see France, I see a little dolly with no underpants, and she's like, oh my God, you said underpants.
That's private underpants.
But
the dirty word.
Just hearing back in France made me think about underpants. Do you remember when you were a kid, like, we used to sing, there's a place in France where the ladies wear no pants. No?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Are you too young?
I don't know. No, I remember that. I'm sure that you did that. You had a lot of nifty little songs that you were singing.
Well, yeah, it's just perfect, right? France and underpants.
I think, I don't know if you told me these, but I remember hearing these about, there once was a man from Nantucket, something about that.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Whoops.
Were those older, when I was older?
Nantucket. What rhymes with Tucket?
or something about, you know, I had to go to the dam to get some damn water, and the damn man said I couldn't have some damn water.
That's right.
So I told the damn man, take his damn water.
That's right. My mom would always say, ABCD puppies, elemental puppies, OSAR, CMPN. Oh, no. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends as we segue all over the place.
About puns and fun little things and things like that. We're Christy, Marie, and Julie. And we're your certified life coaches, law attraction coaches.
Yes.
So much more because we've been
Did you just call me certifiable?
I did. Well, you certainly are.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, I am.
Certifiable in a lot of different ways.
Because I started out as a psychotherapist.
Exactly.
And then I became certifiable.
Exactly.
Ah.
And you know what? It's so funny. I go through these realms where these swings in my life where if I hear one more person telling me how to live my life, I'm going to scream.
Yes. Yeah. We don't do that, do we, girlfriend?
No. It's all self-directed.
Yes. But sometimes we make
suggestions. Advice. You know, advice. All you need for him to be I sometimes listen to Dan Savage, and I may talk about that a little bit because I had some revelations about him.
Do you? Well, I went on our way to the birthday party over the weekend. Julie was on WGN.
Our big radio
station. It's a big radio station in Chicago.
For no other reason than.
And it's so cute because, she puts on her radio voice. She goes, because John Williams is the host, but he used to be, he used to be our daily guy in the mornings.
Right.
Then he moved to Minnesota, and now he's back. I don't think he comes to Chicago, but he's on the weekends here. And Julie goes, John, good to see you back here on the weekends. Oh, thank you, Julie. Thank you. What's your story? I want to talk about UFOs, John.
Well, he brought that topic up.
He did.
That was interesting.
He did, and that's why you called.
I know. And it was so funny because I love him as a host.
I do, too.
And
I like his voice.
He just talked about earlier that morning or that day about Rita Crumwell.
Oh, had he really?
Yeah, our comptroller that stole $50-something million from the town of Dixon where
right,
we live. And
Denny Hastert, who's been in the, he's our congressman. Live in, we're just a little Peyton Place, and you're all Harper Valley hypocrites. You know,
exactly.
I guess it's Dixon,
hypocrite.
Illinois hypocrites. Yeah.
It's crazy. I almost just, it's like, keep your mess to yourself. And then when you hear it all, you realize, I don't know anybody's story. And so, and if you saw everybody's story from above, it would have so many, nobody's as rosy red. It's got a lot of speckles in it and black spots and some more than others and so forth.
It's called life.
It's called life,
and it is messy.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting because I was talking to somebody at the birthday party. We were talking about how we prefer authentic people. And then we, you know, as we're not being judgy. Oh, no. But then we upped the ante.
Yes.
We upped the ante because, you know, we're talking about preferring authentic people and transparent people.
Transparent and authentic.
And authentic. Now,
holy
come
cow.
On.
I don't even know if I'm that 24/7, not even to myself. I have so many different beliefs in the second or two.
I know.
See so many. I don't. I wish.
It really depends on your hormones, too.
Oh, this is true. Please, oh, thank you, girlfriend, for bringing that up. I do believe.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I do believe that we are this chemical being. I mean, I believe
yes.
we're energy.
I know.
But I also believe we're hormonal and chemical, and if everything's running smoothly, mm-hmm. things go well, but sometimes things aren't running smoothly, and then things just feel different.
Yes.
And you have to really struggle to keep even. And you do your best. We all do our best. But I love that one line. Way back when he goes, oh, I just love everybody except people who are too judgy. Can't stand people who are too judgy. Not judging you, you're judging.
That would be us, wouldn't it?
I was getting ready for the radio show today, and I just opened up the book. And I have been struggling today. I've been telling you that this has been a hard weekend for me. Getting my life ready for the week, resisting it, which I know is futile,
mm-hmm.
Because I know that resistance is just an energy. I can choose to believe two ways about resistance.
Mm-hmm.
One is I'm choosing it. I'm not. I'm focusing on it. You know, fighting it, and it's up to me to resist it or mm-hmm. to let it go. And the other way is to think about that it's just an energy that just kind of connects with you, and you can go, oh, wait a minute, that's not my resistance. Maybe
it's not. I don't own it.
I don't own it.
Yeah.
I don't own it.
Somehow it just descends upon you every once in a while.
Yeah. I don't own it. It's just.
Yeah. Get on your merry way.
Yeah, and go on my merry way. And it's like, okay, I like that idea
mm-hmm.
because it keeps me in more in flow, and then I don't have to be so hard on myself. Mm-hmm. But I was struggling today, and I picked up the book, Permission to Mourn, A New Way to Do Grief. Now, but here's what I picked up as part, and he quotes, and this is by Tom Zuba,
who was our guest a couple weeks ago.
And he said, I circled these things. They are energy currents running through your body rooted in the beliefs you hold on to, which we know. I know that for
mm-hmm.
sure. But, and part of your work here on Earth is learning to live a full, joy-filled life. And then he talks about with the death of your beloved. So
mm-hmm.
even though we have grief, we all have grief. There's not one person out there that hasn't had a loss of some sort, a loss of a dream, a loss of...
I agree. It's like he's talking specifically about loss of a loved one, and he's had his fill of that, for sure.
For sure.
But we're talking about loss, like just...
Loss of youth, even.
Yes.
Loss of a decade. You're going, where did this decade go?
Loss of, that beautiful hope, you know, that I can remember, you know.
Yeah,
just like,
hope.
Well, look, we can still accomplish this. Look at, you know, and this hope, and then all of a sudden,
hope
where'd
gone.
That go?
Where'd that hope go? Where'd that belief go?
Yeah.
How did I not get this done? And we talked last week about how, and this is kind of where I still focus at, because when I get
mm-hmm.
to that place of I have no hope at the moment,
mm-hmm.
I realize, oh, my gosh, just like Deepak Chopra talked about,
mm-hmm.
And then we brought to a different idea, this idea that every crisis in your life has to be solved or problem at a higher level.
Yes.
And that is the one way to get to the higher level of experience of transcendence and so forth.
Correct.
And
yes.
So in some ways, when you come...
The problem is we do keep trying to solve problems at the same level that we acquired them.
Yes.
And not going to happen.
No, and if you allow yourself to solve them at a higher level, a lot of times it requires a shaking up of a situation, of an environment,
mm-hmm.
of a
mm-hmm.
Because you're needing to learn new things.
Can I say that mm-hmm. that shaking up involves feeling uncomfortable?
Yes, and sometimes feeling
scared.
And yet, the more I sit with the feeling of fear, scared, it doesn't affect me anymore unless I turn it into something else than I could. I sometimes turn it into lethargy or a tuning out.
Oh, interesting.
like, okay, you know,
yeah,
okay, this is going to be done. I'm doing mm-hmm. it, and I'm now checking out of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I'm going to sleep now because mm-hmm. let this be, let the work of the universe to happen, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, that's not bad though. But you just
no,
said.
It's not. It's,
yeah.
I don't think it is bad.
I mean, to step back and say, allow the universe to do its thing now.
Exactly. Exactly. And so, and that's kind of where I'm at, but it's funny, we had kind of like a family member, but on the outskirts, like a family-in-law member, wrote on their Facebook page, I'd rather be, I'm not a warrior, but a warrior.
Oh, are you a warrior or a worrier?
Yes. And that was it, and it was funny, because when I first heard it, I'm like, oh, geez. I feel like I'm going to be a warrior with everything, too. You know, give me a break. Can I not just worry? Can I just give it to God? But do I have to be a warrior, too?
That's right.
And for a split second, I felt that. Like, mm-hmm. One more thing I've got to be. I've got to be a warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that sometimes we can define warrior as just doing warrior,
mm-hmm.
just do what you got to do.
Yes.
Just do what you got to do.
That's a hero, isn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes it is because
you know,
it's a freaky world we live out there.
Like Greg, I kind of think he's a hero. And I know you're like, why? You know, but, you know, he does his job,
mm-hmm.
gets home, got to take care of the kids.
Yeah.
Got to do this. You got to, you know, take care
yeah.
of your tenants. And
yeah.
I mean, it's nobody just says, you know, hey, good job, my man. Good job.
It's a thankless job being a parent, isn't it? And certainly, I don't think, if I was going to say one thing, I think if you have kids, you get judged a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you judge a lot, too.
And you judge a lot, too?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's sort of like a judgy job.
I know. Well, I'm thinking, girlfriend, I think it was Breakfast at Tiffany's, Audrey Hepburn movie.
Mm-hmm.
That she describes, and I could be really, really off on this. I'm sure I'll hear from somebody. But I think she describes, like, I think she calls them the blue meanies or something like that, where you just, it's like Monday or something like where you have to start something and the blue meanies come in. Where just
yes.
like, it just puts you in a funked up mood.
Well, and I can say that I'm experiencing a little bit of the Sunday blues.
Yeah.
And I think we know.
Could we call it the blue
yeah,
meanies?
The blue I will call it the blue meanies.
And I could be wrong with it.
No, but I had talked to you today or this week about a short little podcast from Tim Ferriss talking about Edison. Correct?
Yes. And I heard it.
And you heard it.
Yes.
And I love this idea that Edison at the age of 67.
Yes.
Had a huge fire in his factories
mm-hmm.
where he did all of his experiments. And think of it as where they call it, the Department of
Research and Development?
Yeah, R.D.
Yes.
And so probably worth millions, right?
They said that it was worth millions back then. It might be worth $70 million or something in today's
right,
economy.
And they only had it insured for a very little amount.
Right.
And so as he was being interviewed by the paper, whoever, after this happened, they go,
mm-hmm.
oh, what do you feel like? He goes, I feel excited.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm about ready to clean this up and get going and start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that for him, he was choosing to not look at this as a loss,
mm-hmm.
but as a clean slate and, like, to get in there and get going.
And, like, didn't one of his grandkids say, oh, Grandpa, you know, your factory's on fire. And he goes, well, put on your coat. Let's go. We may never see something like this again.
Exactly.
This amazing, this kind of an adventure. Now, if that's really the case, you know, kudos to the man.
Right, great.
Right?
Exactly. And then subsequently.
Because your boyfriend, his suitcase fell apart in the airport on the way to Ireland, and
yes.
he almost...
He
called
said,
the taxi and
said,
this is a sign from God that I'm not supposed to go to Ireland. Sitting here with your crap all over the airport floor.
This is a sign. I'm not supposed to be here. This is awful.
And then somebody said, sir, can I give you some tape?
Yes. Yes. Give me some tape.
I'll tape this
sucker up.
Now, is that another sign from the universe that
that you're meant to go?
Yeah.
I like we all have little angels, you know? And And so, but at the same time, you know, during that year of getting back and starting new, and his team starting new, they created much more new stuff, made more money than they ever had. And it was just this interesting idea. And he said this phrase or this quote, if I got to do something, I might as well figure out a way to say that I get to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it has changed the way I look at a lot of things.
Right. Do you have to do it or do you get to do it?
And if you have to do it, you might as well figure out a way that you feel like you get to do
yes.
it.
Yes. We're just talking to our engineer, and he was saying that he's working on this website that this, he loves to do this stuff. He gets to do it.
And he's so major focused.
Yes.
Which is what you've been talking about all the time.
I know. Well, I've been getting signs. I mean, everywhere.
Yes.
I look, the buzzword that I'm meant to read is about focus.
Yes. I wished I got words like you. I know that you hear them. I know that mm-hmm. auditory. How do they come to you? When you are...
all sorts of ways, but I would say auditory,
in your
clear audience.
State. Yep, okay. Yeah. That's a way to clear an audience. No. Be there in silence.
Ba-dum-bum.
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 Oh, you know, speaking of a bum-bump, ba-dum-bump.
I want to go back to the Tim Ferriss thing, too, though.
Okay, we will.
Whenever you want
I do, and I've got three things I want to talk about. Tim Ferriss. I want to talk a little bit about Dan Savage, and I want to talk about, I mentioned to you, Oprah had on her Super Soul Sunday,
Elie Wiesel.
Elie Wiesel,
you were telling me, yes.
Fascinating. I want to tell you some stuff about him and so forth. So, you know, we have a dog named Elliot, right, Mom?
Yes, I do know that,
and
girlfriend.
I want to change his name.
No way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been really trying to get in shape. Mm-hmm. I've been feeling so lethargic lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been like really focusing on walking about 5 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, walking 5 miles
wow.
a day. I know. Pretty impressive, right?
You're walking 5 miles a day.
Yeah, yeah. Did I tell you though? I changed my dog's name to 5 miles.
Can I do this bump bump again?
I don't know why, but this joke.
You love that joke.
I love this joke. As my niece would say, I love this joke. She just loves everything. I find that so sweet. And I love that joke because I can say it in mixed company.
Yes.
Because sometimes my humor can go dark and blue. And then I have to be cautious, like, mm-hmm. not mix my words.
I know, so we were in mixed company the other day, and we were talking about Call Me Caitlin.
Yes.
And we cleared the room of a couple people.
Yes, we did.
Because they were, they didn't want to
talk
touch
about
the
it.
Subject, yeah.
I'm like, all right.
Well.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. I thought we had some things to contribute to it.
Yes.
Yeah, very fascinating mm-hmm. things, but oh, well.
But
our family stayed connected. Did you notice that?
What?
Our family stayed connected.
Yes.
And I'm like, I didn't want to talk to them anyway. So, it was kind of funny. But so you want to go to Tim Ferriss, girlfriend. Do you remember what it was
about?
What
I wanted to say, now it seems a little pointless, but, you know, back in the Edison day, this is my opinion now,
okay.
of course, is that there were these... kind of titans of industry that, you know, had, you know, and Edison was one of them.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, even Tesla, but, you know, to varying degrees. But they were, like I said, they were titans of industry. They were sort of godlike.
They were the rock stars of
they
our day.
They were,
yeah.
yeah, of their day. And
of their
so,
day. Yeah.
and so it's, I don't know, it's nice to hear these stories. They do motivate. But the world today is a lot tougher, I think, you know, and less, you know, loving to unless you are a titan of industry, you know, to lose your stuff and go, oh, I get to rebuild.
Yes.
I don't mean to make light of this because I think it's important that people, that attitude is very important.
Yeah.
100%. But... you know, I also, you know me, I'm also the devil's advocate every once in a while.
Your mother used to tell me that all the time.
I know. Oh, my mom was just the devil, really.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate.
I know, but she used to say, I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here, Julie. And she would throw out this horrible scenario.
Just,
I'm like, well, fine.
Grandma.
How about I do nothing then? Because I don't even want to try. Screw this.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just being devil's advocate. That's the whip cracking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
okay, fine. Awesome. Awesome, kiddo. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's just what I wanted to say. So I guess I wanted to
I know back in the day with the scientists, they used to have at this one place in New York, I think, like every Saturday night, Tesla, other scientists would come and show what they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be, you know, I'm trying to think what book I was reading that was in. That's so amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Yes. And everybody was trying to rush. Like if you heard somebody was having
the first one to
and get your patent and all this stuff.
Yes.
And so a lot of times you're just throwing your stuff out there. You're like, whoa.
Speaking of Tesla, I'm going to just tell this little story on myself because it's kind of funny. So there's, you know, I guess there's Tesla organizations everywhere, really, but there's this one in particular in Colorado, and I don't want to like I'm known to.
Okay. You're known to connect with the other side.
Yes. I'm known to do readings with the other side.
Yes.
Now, we've not really shared that before on the...
I think we might have, way back when.
Yeah, but I've heard from this one organization that wants me to connect with...
Tesla.
Because they've got some information they want from him, and so I'm just saying.
Well, it was funny.
Kind of cool. You mentioned Tesla.
It is. It's very fascinating. But you're just like, oh, come on. What do you want to connect with him? I mean, like, am I supposed to give you an idea? No.
I think that they. I think they do.
And then I'm thinking you're going to hold that for yourself.
Yeah. If something comes through, that
I'm going to hold that one back.
Yeah,
man.
I'd like to do that double coil helix thing without. Excuse me. Yeah, let me go to the patent office here.
Exactly. Or he tells you a stock tip. I'm like, awesome. Thank you, Tesla. it was funny because you had mentioned that you touched it a little bit.
Yes.
But you didn't know if it was really connecting with him.
Right.
Because so many years have gone by. Usually they're...
Yes. well gone, yes.
And, but one of the things that you got was that he had a very close relationship with his mother.
Yes,
and I looked it up on Google because I had mentioned it was in Friends, and we're like, let's see if she was right. And and it literally it mentions that he was close with his mother.
So
that's kind of sweet.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So very interesting. Mm-hmm. But like you said, what do you do with that? And first of all, you can make anything up.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to verify it? I mean, that's just craziness.
Yeah, I know.
But it's also kind of sweet that they thought that you could.
Yeah.
And you did kind of try a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sweet.
I did one reading for my friend whose father just passed away, and I got some. What he gave me was just these several Bible quotes.
Mm.
And he was a man he was very much a biblical man, and. At his funeral, they even, read some of the verses of where I quoted.
Oh, did they? Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, and what he said.
Well, I don't know. Is that your way of throwing down the mic, saying, there you go? They even, the Bible quotes that were very important to him. Boom.
Well, he said, remember, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Aw, yeah.
It's kind of sweet.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Dan Savage last.
Last, okay.
Yes, because I don't think we can. I don't want to segue into talking about this man that passed away. I want to talk about now and to, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about today as Flag Day.
Oh, thank you. But
does that mean anything to you?
No, not one bit. I can never say his name right. Elie Wiesel.
Oh,
Wiesel.
No, Julie, not Wiesel.
Wiesel.
Ah, oh,
Wiesel. Thank you.
Elie Wiesel. Isn't it amazing? Is he still alive?
Yes. Well, as of whenever Oprah interviewed him.
Wow, because, I mean, he's got to be in his late 90s.
Well, he was a Holocaust survivor.
Yes.
Here are some of the things I thought were fascinating about him. He talked about that there will come a time when all the Holocaust survivors will be gone.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't want to be the last one because that will just be too hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, we need witnesses, and the only way we can be a witness is that me telling and sharing it to somebody else, they be then become the witness.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I went to Washington, D.C. I went to the Holocaust
Museum.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very eye-opening. And mm-hmm. yeah, I knew all about it. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen, you know.
But when you're there in person.
I don't know if kids still learn in the way we learned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was still pretty close. I mean, our mm-hmm. grandparents were in
right,
World War II.
Right.
Now, you know, Greg's kids, their grandparents weren't in World War II,
mm-mm.
so they don't have that immediate connection
no,
to it.
No,
and so forth. So that was interesting that you have to share this so it never happens again.
Right.
And I hope we come to a time when this won't happen again, even though at this moment we do see areas where there is genocide going on and just this blatant killing in mm-hmm. parts and pockets of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we stop it, and does our interaction help or detract or doesn't help? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes mm-hmm. I don't know anything about these things because only looking back do you go, we made the wrong decision,
mm-hmm.
or, well, eventually it worked out even mm-hmm. though millions died and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But he also mentioned this phrase that he believes in thinking higher and feeling deeper. Thinking higher and feeling deeper.
Is this regarding the...
Everything.
Okay.
Everything in life.
Like that's his
yes.
motto. Okay.
He had a near-death experience in 2011, I believe.
Hmm.
And...
thinking higher, feeling deeper.
And he said at that moment, he goes, I realized that every moment counts. You know, every moment
yes.
counts. And
yes.
I had so many more things to read and to say to my loved ones and all this. And Oprah's like, I've known you for a long time. You've always believed that everything mattered, every moment counted.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yes, but this is the first time that I felt I was dying. Like, it really mattered then because I wasn't going to be here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And he talked about seeing his father and so forth.
When he had his near-death experience?
Yes, but he also saw his father when he was accepting his Nobel Prize. And
who had, I mean... Did his father get the Nobel Prize, or
no,
did he?
No, he got the Nobel.
Okay, for
but,
peace.
And I don't know. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But can he get for literature too?
Oh, possibly.
So anyway, and he saw his father in the background, you know, and so he always knew that his father was here, was around, and the other thing that was interesting is that.
You're talking about in spirit.
In spirit.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing I found was very interesting is that he had invested all his personal finances as well as his foundation's finances with
no
Bernie Madoff.
No.
And he lost it all.
Oh my! Are you? I did
no.
not know this.
He lost it all, and I found that
oh
fascinating.
Oh my gosh!
He said about 3 months before this went down. My son was telling me, who was on the board of our foundation, he goes, this is not right. We should not give one person all of our money
right.
to invest. This
right.
is not right. And I was saying, oh, do you know who's investing with them? And he goes, I could name you. He goes, Oprah, if I told you who had given him the money, you would be shocked because these were prominent financial people, you know, in New York, on the coast. Giving them their money in substantial amounts. And, you know, and because I knew something was wrong, because I came home with my wife, and my son sat us down, and the first thing he said was, okay, everybody's okay. Everybody's okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
No one's died, everybody's
mm-hmm.
okay. But Bernie Madoff has been arrested. And we're like, whoa. And he goes, and we probably have lost everything. You know, all of our money, your personal money, and our foundation money. And then the foundation money was over $15 million.
Oh, my God.
And
Lord.
He didn't mention how much he had in his personal finances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
so what does a man do? How did he just start over, I guess?
I mean, you know, you said he's in his
90s. 90s, easy.
80s.
Easy.
He said, I took my wife's hand and I said, we've been through worse.
That's true.
And So this was something bad, but we've been through worse, and we'll get over this, and we'll get through this. He goes, I didn't lose my house. He said, I have a good job. You know, I still write. I still taught classes at the university.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I could support. It's just I didn't no longer had the cushion that if I stopped today, I wouldn't, you know.
Right.
And so in some ways,
when
I wondered
when did this Madoff thing happen? Because, I mean, does it correlate to his near-death experience
in
2011?
That's a good question. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try and Google it if I have time,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. But when I heard that, I was like, whoa, this is...
Yes.
Because we've been through people, you know, we know we're supposed to play near the edge, right?
Right.
And yet, sometimes we play there near the edge, we fall off,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes there's no one there to catch you.
Right.
Or in different ways, because in America, we all love second chances,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, we've heard other people talk about this, too, about losing everything being,
mm-hmm.
and then coming back more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're playing in that field, I guess it could happen.
Right.
I know it's happened before. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
And we all know people who have never played on the edge.
Yes.
And I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. Neither way is better.
Neither way is better.
But
the only thing about playing on the edge is that you lose time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard people say, if you took it all away from me, I could have it all back in a year or something. You
right.
know, like, because I know now what to do.
Right. And... There are times when you just want to say, there are consequences of everything. I mean, we live in America. Oh, one thing he did say about his foundation,
mm-hmm.
Is that he said America is so giving. He said immediately after this happened, I had so many regular people. He said sending in donations,
mm-hmm.
small amounts.
Mm-hmm.
Many, 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 many times over.
Aw, I love to hear that.
In a short amount of time, we were back to where we were and more.
Oh, my God.
And I felt we will be restored.
Yep. To what you had before
and
then give you more.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think you got that phrase.
Yes.
Is it directly from the Bible or you just got that during
I got that in a dream that I had.
Right.
And I woke up like at 3, and I got the first part,
mm-hmm.
and went back to sleep, and woke up like at 5, and got that second part, and then when I woke up, you know, it's like at 7, I got
the third
and
part.
I will give you more. Yeah, so
I will
restore
what you had before.
Yes,
and more.
And then what you had.
And
before,
I know
and
that I have used that with clients before, during after that time,
mm-hmm.
and it has helped because. There's this, you know that you have hope, and we know we have hope can turn into belief, then turn into knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And really,
I would say
at that
faith
stage
and
of,
hope, yeah,
yes.
and then belief, and then knowing, yes.
And really at that knowing stage is when the magic happens.
Yes.
Because during the faith and hope and belief phase, a lot of stuff can shake it.
Yes, and not only that, but... preconceived expectations
yes.
can also get in the way. And then once you clear away the crap,
right.
what really mm-hmm. remains, what truly remains is foundational. It is that
right.
knowing.
And a lot
I
of times,
know
yeah.
what I know,
I know
what I know.
And a lot of times, too, at that faith, hope, believing area,
mm-hmm.
that's where all the problems are and the obstacles are.
Yes.
And we haven't risen above the next level to solve them all yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but once we do, then we're like at the knowing stage, knowing that no matter what obstacle comes our way, we can solve it at
yes.
a higher level,
yes.
and we bring it to us and so forth.
I know my friend, we were talking, and she was saying, I don't understand why I'm feeling this way. She goes, I know that I'm healed in this area.
Yeah.
So why is this coming up? It cannot possibly be coming up for more clearing, because I am healed in this area. And I believed her, because she
yeah.
totally... you know, daily meditator for decades, you know. Anyway, so, and then this is what I said. Well, you know, I started talking about Deepak. He said, when this comes up, it's not necessarily comes up to be cleared again or to be healed, but it comes up as an invitation from your deepest knowing self to evolve to the next higher, you know, level. And I just, I don't know, that has stayed with me.
Yes.
I love that.
I don't want to forget that either. Mm-hmm. I don't want to forget it.
No, the idea that invitation, right, from your deeper self.
An invitation from your deeper self. I love that.
Mm.
And so those are our pearls of wisdom what I kind of learned this week and put into play. And
some good takeaways.
Some great takeaways as how we can maneuver in this minutia of life.
Yes, yeah. Maneuvering minutia.
That's
I wonder if that's ever been said in the entire history of the universe.
I like how it sounds together.
Yeah, so now those two words are out there for some future generation when they can just capture words.
Exactly.
You know.
Or as a good URL, but who could spell it? You know?
Oh, yeah, www.maneuveringminutia.com. Oh, Julie, see if it's available. Go to GoDaddy. Hurry for anybody else.
I would spell it five different ways. I don't even know.
Mama, how do you spell maneuvering?
And how do you spell manure? And minutia.
Whoops, Freudian slip.
How do you spell it all? Please.
www.idon'tfucking know.
Exactly. How do you spell this? .com.
Yes.
Is that available? Yes, it's available.
It's available. Oh, and it's a .com. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Awesome. Our million-dollar idea. Yay.
Yay. Bye, everybody. We got a million-dollar idea.
Yes, we're leaving now.
Yes.
To work on it. All our focus into it and so forth. So I want to talk to you a little about Dan Savage a little bit. Dan Savage has a podcast and a blog post. I think he writes for some papers. He's an advice columnist. And someone asked him, well, what makes you, you know, your credentials good enough to give advice?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, nothing. I only give advice because people ask me. And that's the whole thing about advice. If no one was asking me, I wouldn't give it.
Right.
No one was listening, I wouldn't say it. But people are asking, so I'm giving it. And he is a sex columnist, maybe, or I don't know.
Relationship.
Relationship. But he's a gay man. But
freak flag.
Yeah, he's a gay man, but he's completely open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And he does also have a little political swing to it as well and kind of calls people out on their bogus stuff and so forth. I like it about them. But sometimes I feel, you know, he's preaching to his own choir, of course, because there are times I'd go and I'm like, I don't know, you know, I just think this person's wounded and he's acting out sexually and if he just could chill out a little bit.
Are you talking about Dan?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Dan really believes that, like, if you're not sexually compatible with somebody, the marriage is doomed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, you know, if you've been married for 40 years, I'm thinking that there are probably times in your marriage that you're not going to be sexually compatible for a short period of time, and then talk it out, and you figure it out, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But and he talks about people and their kinks and how to embrace the kinks and so forth like that. And I was listening to Dr. Drew in a classic Love Line because I love Adam Carolla. You guys, you know that.
Yes, I know you.
Because I listen to Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla, and someone would call up with a sexual kink and how they're like, and I just, you know, he doesn't want to do this for me anymore. And you know, that woman would call up and saying, you know, I think I gotta leave because he just, you know, he's a good guy, but he doesn't want to experiment, doesn't want to do this, and then Dr. Drew would go, okay, I know I'm gonna get some emails about this, and I don't care anymore. He said, but you keep saying he's a good guy and that you love him and he's great everywhere else but this, and that you need to leave him for that. You know, I mean, tell me about your past, you know? And sure enough.
Absentee father.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Or something, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that all kinks are brought on, but I believe that sometimes the focus of sex being such a big part of your life, just like if anything else, like if food is a major focus, I mean, and it's out of balance, or if your job or the love of money or drugs, I think like anything else, if you are not allowed to see the whole picture, I think it can mess you up.
Yes.
I think you then can throw away things that really have value.
Yes, for sure.
But because your sexual drive is out of whack, may or not in simpatico with your partner, that it could mess you up a little bit. And I don't know how to solve those issues. I'm not saying they should be solved, but I always feel that he's willing to throw things out, or like, hey, have a little something on the side, you know. Or
so what you're saying is Dan Savage says that if you don't feel absolutely, completely sexually compatible, then it, like you said, you know, dump the marriage or get something on
the outside. Well, if there's no kids, dump the marriage. Because that'll be a horrible,
And if there is kids?
I think he talks about, in different scenarios, really different scenarios, about working, trying to, maybe have something on the side, you know, all this stuff.
That's really interesting, though, because I'm so grateful that I don't have that approach. You know, it's like there's so many different kinds of disorders, like, if you have disordered eating, you know, how do you put order back into it?
Right.
How do you put balance back in it? If you have a sexual, you know, disorder, how do you put, you know, order back into that? I mean, especially when it looks like, you know, say you're building a house of bricks and one of them just like really sticking out real far, you know.
Right.
That's the disorder, you know.
And it's so interesting because I listen to him because I find him entertaining as hell. And I've learned some things from him. I really have. And
shall I put my fingers in?
No,
here?
Not really.
Okay.
There's nothing. But
excuse me. This is good radio. I'm putting my fingers in my ears right now.
You know, and I've told other people about him, and they're like, and some of them do get bored of it because it is the same thing over and over again. And you know, just like, oh God, we're all so wounded. You know, none of us can figure this out.
No, we are.
Sex
we
is crazy.
Are wounded. I was talking to this one person saying, they were opening a new business and saying, what should my business model be? And I was like, you know, the walking wounded. You know, because
we're all that, right?
And when you cannot hold yourself up apart from that, I don't think. I mean, I think people respect that. You know, we started out talking about being authentic, and transparent, and to be a wounded healer, you know, is noble.
Yeah,
I think it's noble.
I agree.
Well, and it's heroic.
I totally agree.
But
nothing. That's great.
Should we just rest on that?
Rest.
Let's think about that.
Well, I was thinking before you said that because I'm kind of bringing it backwards now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know somebody who has kind of for the last couple of years or last 16 months have really focused on her kink, you know, and her sexual drive.
Yes.
And it has just
not worked out well.
Not worked out well. No. And I remember she tagged me about this. She goes, what should I do? I said, I have no idea what she should do.
Yeah, but when I was talking to you 16 months ago,
now I have no idea.
You don't do this.
I go, that's why I said, please don't do this. This is crazy.
Yeah. Every time I would hear you, it's like, please don't do this.
I go, are you being safe? Not really. And and there's a lot of times, too, when people aren't, you know, when Dan Savage talks to them, they're like, are you being safe? Are you being, well,
not at all. She
50%
wasn't safe
of the time. No, she wasn't.
No.
And as an adult woman, I'm like, really? Okay, we're not healed. Mm-hmm. And I remember I said, okay, here's the thing. If you're still feeling this way after a year, I'm going to suggest that this is not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this ends badly, then let's just know that there's something else going on.
Yes.
You know? Because, I don't know.
But it's interesting, though, because she definitely decided that she was going to become a sexual freak. That's all I can say about that. She just decided this
as
a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
you know, and...
And there are plenty of guys that would take her up on that.
Yeah, from the Internet.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just go
no,
meet. Go
from
meet.
The Internet?
Yeah.
No way. From that thing called
that
Internet?
That infernal Internet thing.
Yeah.
What the heck is that about?
So it was so, I was so sad and sweet at the same time, because as women, we try and put our feelings away, right? We mm-hmm. try and, like I would say, well, you know, just want to remind you, sweetie, that this is not, these are not forever guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is one-time guys. And, of course...
She fell in love with a one-time guy.
Yeah, and then after a few months, after she switched her whole life around...
Quit
her
job.
He goes, I'm just not interested in you like that. And
emptied
I'm like, really?
401k.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, really? And I just, you know, I just said, oh, honey, I'm so grateful. And that's all I could say to her, that mm-hmm. this time is over now.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to rebuild from a healthier place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can do, because...
And I would say that's really true. Like, okay, this is, I'm sure for her, it's traumatic, compounded by what even caused the initial issue in the first place.
Right.
You know,
right.
To leave a, you know, marriage and all that stuff.
Right.
And so this is the universe, or God, your deeper self inviting you to go higher.
Solve this problem.
Solve this problem from a higher vantage point.
Right.
Than what you're trying to solve this problem with.
Yes.
Not gonna work.
And sometimes it's hard to know what that higher vantage point is.
Yeah.
But it's always around forgiveness.
There's no advice columnist for that.
No. And also, sometimes when you go from a higher vantage point, it's you're saying to yourself, I'm allowing a lot of the bad stuff to go unanswered. And this is just my opinion,
mm-hmm.
such as in personal relationships, you know,
mm-hmm.
a higher advantage, like, I'm not going to fight at this level.
Mm-hmm.
What's the real thing above it?
Right.
So I'm not going to attack these little issues. What's the bigger thing above it?
Wow.
What's the concept?
That's pretty mature, because there are times when that's all you want to do is attack the little stuff, you know.
We've got about 6 minutes to go, and mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about this commercial I saw today.
Mm-hmm.
And it really hit me funny, because I had talked to you guys months ago about that study where if you so this company did a study where they were sending out reminders like, hey, join your 401k. Big, huge company. And they did it two ways. And one way, there was a picture of yourself, you know, your actual self.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, join your 401k. Now's a good time to start. And the other half had a picture of yourself aged, you know, for 30, 40 years.
Whoa.
Join your 401k.
Yeah.
They said people who saw themselves aged joined their 401k at an alarming rate.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
So I saw this commercial today, and it's from some online brokerage firm for 401ks. I don't know what it's some kind of investing firm. But it's a young 30-year-old, maybe 35-year-old, I could be wrong, at her computer, and boom, an older woman who says she's 70 with a uniform on with a flipper in her hand, like she's flipping burgers working at a fast food joint.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, hey. And her boyfriend just calls, the 30-year-old's boyfriend just calls.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in, throws the phone down, and she goes, what? I'm here to tell you to start investing in your 401k right now. Otherwise, you're 70-year-old, you know, 30 years from now, you're going to be flipping burgers. And I don't want to flip burgers anymore. I'm tired. And he says, so
whoa.
Start investing.
Whoa.
And he goes, why'd you throw the phone down with my boyfriend? He goes, oh, he's just a dweeb. Let him go now. And I thought,
oh, that's a great commercial.
It was a great commercial.
Oh,
I know. And I was just reading, and this one website was really suggesting a minimum of like $1,500 a month you should be saving.
Good Lord.
Not just for retirement, though, for just like everything that could go your way.
Oh, my gosh.
$1,500 a month.
Whoa.
And so you realize, well, there's some inflation stuff going on.
Most people, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Well, and yet I know people who are on disability living on $700 a month.
Yes.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so very interesting, I thought.
Wow, that's a great commercial.
Wasn't it great? Got me thinking, like, am I investing enough? Am I doing enough? I don't know.
Well, I like that one commercial. It shows the blue and the yellow little...
Yes.
On the wall, it said, here's what really happened in your present. There's yellow is kind of...
Good things and blue is bad
yeah.
things.
Yeah, and so in the present and the past, it's like a mixture, an even mixture.
Yeah.
And then they ask people to say what the future is going to look like, and it's all yellow.
All rosy, yeah.
Yeah.
All yellow.
And people are like, people.
One thing we know for sure.
If you look at your present and your past, you're like, you're kind of, you know, yeah. So that I like that one too as well. You know.
So what's our takeaway, financial takeaway? Start saving more money?
Yeah, what is our financial? Bend over and kiss yours.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Don't make money your God anyway. Put yourself on a plan so that you are without stress.
Yes.
Because one thing we know, that not having order in your money can cause much stress.
Exactly. A money disorder, put order back in your money. Put order back in your finances. Put order back in your sex life. Put order back in your food.
Can I order all that up?
Yeah, can we just wait, order
my order
online?
Now? Yeah.
Can I order that online?
Please? Because if we can, I'd love to. I would love that.
That was great.
It was great. We got a few more minutes before
Okay.
Yeah. Before we say it's great. We got 3 more minutes yet.
Well, you're the timekeeper, darling.
Yes, I am. We got 3 more minutes. But anyway, everybody, you can go buy our book. We're kind of in this transitional period where we're working on a new website.
Yes.
We're working on a lot of new stuff.
Yeah, we're working on a lot of new stuff.
Yes.
It's going to be great for all of us.
Woohoo! You're a poet. You don't even know it. And as you have your husband right now making us dinner, I can smell it.
Mm.
And you gave him specific directions to have it done specifically when the show is over.
Yes, because I'm building an appetite.
Exactly.
Right now.
You can buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tricky Radio Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Yes.
At Amazon.
At Amazon.com.
Yes.
Or, you know, just in case, we're going to have you go to www.maneuveringminutia.com. You can see The Clutterfly Effect there. And if you order The Clutterfly Effect, let us know and we'll send you the audio version, because why not? Because we can.
You know, I have to say something to you, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We've debated about doing this show live or having it recorded and sending it in, having it playing at this time.
Right,
but
right.
Except that, honestly, I feel 100% better than I did when I started the show. So it is the best form of therapy for me.
It is. I love you, girlfriend.
And I hope that people feel the same way, that it's good therapy. And from our family to your family, from our mother-daughter.
I like to teach the world to sing.
I love that. Okay.
I'm just being Mad Men.
Yes. Okay, the last scene with him smiling in that lotus position and knowing that he was going to, the idea came to him. For the Coke commercial.
Yes.
Loved it. All right, everyone, thank you very much for listening tonight.
Yes, and don't you think it was great?
It was great. It was great.